or the Tax Conference Committee. Madam Chair, Mayor Kautz from Burnsville has made herself available. The Senate's bringing her in as our closer to see if we can convince the House that the Goodrich expansion in Burnsville is important to not only her community but to the state. So, Madam Mayor, Senator Dahl, why don't you come up with the mayor?
Thank you.
Representative Morgan, good. Pull up a chair. Madam Mayor, welcome to the committee. And let me just say, I understand. Do we address you as Madam President now, or how do we address you as President of the National Mayors Association?
Burnsville always first.
Is your title President of the National Mayors Association?
President.
And my congratulations again on that distinguished honor.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to come down. We understand the project. We understand the importance in your community, so we wanted to give you an opportunity to come down and give the project a pitch for us.
Well, thank you, Senator Bach, and members of the committee. I really appreciate the opportunity to come before you this afternoon and to talk to you about what is important to all of us. Members of the committee, we're all in this pool together. It's all about us here in Minnesota, and it's all about jobs. The other piece, it's about preserving an intellectual capital here in our state. And if you think about the supply chain that comes out of that, it'll more than pay for what we're asking for is a waiver on the taxes for the equipment and material. It will be more than pay for it. And so I just ask that you please consider that paradigms have shifted. We are in a new world. We no longer just look at things here in Minnesota, but we compete as a region against all the other regions around our country. And as I sit as the president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, I see this. I see the competitiveness of regions across our country. And then just coming back from China, I see that the competition is even much greater than that. It is global. I would like very much, members of the legislature, that you consider that this is about Minnesota. It's not just about Goodrich. It's not about Burnsville. It's about Minnesota. It's about what we do for our economic vitality. It's about what we do together to preserve this kind of jobs here. Because we compete. We compete on a national level, and we also compete on a global level. It's a new world, and the paradigms have shifted. And so to my friend, Representative Lencheski, I know that you care about jobs. I know that you care about jobs.
Hold up, man.
You know, you and I, when you were on the council, you and I stood together in Washington, D.C.
That's true.
And we stood together even here in Minnesota as neighbors. And we have always been aligned on the ways that we look at it, even though, you know, I always say that I'm Burnsville. When people ask me, what party do you belong to? Burnsville. I work for the city of Burnsville, for the citizens of Burnsville. And so, you know, it is about all of us. And so, Representative Lencheski, I just appeal to that alignment and that you and I share on a lot of different principles. And at the end of the day, I know that you care about the jobs, not only for our people today, but for the future, for our children. And preserving that intellectual capital here, and you look at the supply chain that's going to feed all of that, and keeping it here in Minnesota, in Burnsville, is going to be a good thing for all of your constituents also in Bloomington. I promise you.
She's good.
I'm sure, what do you think of the Senate's bullpen?
She's very good.
Madam Mayor, very, very well said. And it's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
And bring us another project like this next year. and we'll be happy to try and accommodate you in the Senate.
Oh, we're working very hard on a lot of different things, and thanks to you, because, again, you helped us to put together the TIF district in a 1,700-acre site. So we're all staged up, and so everywhere I go, I'm talking about bringing more jobs to our region, not just Burnsville, but to our region. So I'm working very hard on the Itasca Jobs Task Force also. Representative Len Chesky, I'm working with all of those CEOs too, so we bring more jobs. And this will be good for our state.
She's good.
Good for our region.
Mr.
You know, we get the region creates all of the about 90% of the jobs, and the GDP is about 80% here in our region. So, Senator Bach, that doesn't mean that Greater Minnesota doesn't have their contributions. So, just talking about where it's produced.
Maybe we should quit talking.
Yeah, I'll shut up now. Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
I don't see the city manager here any longer, but I.
Oh, he's here.
My assessment is, here it is. Doesn't seem like we're paying the mayor enough. And I don't need to know what she's making, except I'm pretty sure we're not paying her enough for the job she's doing for her community. So thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Mr. Chair, I wish the commissioner would have heard that speech, because we need the commissioner to tell us why the tax expenditure of REIT is more worthy than the jobs that Mayor Kautz just talked about. And by the way, I think Mayor Kautz is the first, and I could be wrong on this, she'll correct me, suburban president in the history of the country, the organization she's leading. I think that's right. First suburban mayor. Is that right?
Yes.
Big change.
We did have a mayor, Minnetonka, who was the president of the League of Cities.
National maybe she's the whole country.
Yes, of the whole country. Yes. Yeah. So we do very well in Hennepin County.
Mm-hmm.
And
Dakota.
Dakota County.
Yeah. The region.
Region.
The region.
The
region.
So Burnsville is not paying for the Twin Stadium.
No, they're not. You know, we
when they shop in Hennepin County, right?
Mr. Chair, when that passed, when people like you were, I think, voting. Did you vote for it?
No, I did not.
You didn't vote for it. Okay. When others voted for it, and I did not, I had a lot of letters from folks in Bloomington that said, I am forever going to cross the river and go to Burnsville and buy all my toothpaste and every other thing rather than pay for the Twins tax for 30 years. I don't know if they're doing it, but hopefully Burnsville's getting a little business due to the Twins tax. I don't know. I think maybe they stopped crossing the river after they...
Madam Chair, I thought it should have had a retractable roof.
Oh, I had the amendment to make Greater Minnesota legislators, the 80 counties, pay for that, but it got voted down by those same legislators.
I could have supported that.
They didn't even want to pay for the roof. They just wanted Hennepin to do the whole thing.
I think it was about $130 million the roof was, if I remember right.
Why didn't they vote for it, those Greater Minnesota legislators?
I don't remember having
they
that discussion.
They said they needed the roof
side.
Because when we looked outside, we could tell it was raining, and we would know that to bring an umbrella, but they wouldn't know, so they needed a roof. But then they didn't want to pay. That's what the testimony was. That's what the testimony was.
You know, Representative Chesky, if Senator Anderson was here, she'd be really confused right now about the provision we're talking about for Goodrich and Burnsville.
No, Mayor Kautz is an incredible advocate, as you know, all of us who know her know what a great job she does for her city and for her area and for the whole state. So we're really lucky she's here, and I do think the House is open to doing this ultimately, but we do have to pay for it. And I think the commissioner, I sort of reject the strategy here that the REIT can't pay for it just because the commissioner says the governor says no. Maybe we should, you know, pursue that a little bit.
I'm sure I'm willing to move the REIT provision. It's in both bills.
I know that.
And then we could move Senator Dahl's bill. Paid for.
Good. But I don't think we'd vote for it on this side right now. I think we need to... I think Mayor Kautz is going to track down the commissioner and look for the governor today.
Madam Mayor, if you could, if, as long as you're in the building, if you could have a conversation with the commissioner, I think that might be helpful.
I'll go do that right now and report back to you. How about that?
Okay.
I'll excuse myself then and go.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank
and
you.
So let's keep working on this and make it a go, okay? Go is our goal.
Madam Mayor, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Member
Erdahl. Thank you. Representative Morgan, thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, did you need to correct a record on
I did, on
something that was said earlier that apparently offended somebody that was watching us on television?
I don't know if he was watching or was told, but I want to correct the record and apologize. If I've offended him in any way, because he's a good friend and a great guy, and that is former Representative Christy LaForest, who heard us talk about the quitting conferee. And he was not the quitting conferee because he was the sixth conferee, a non-voting member, and did not want to participate as a non-voting member. So I think technically he wasn't. He's right. He was not one of the five voting conferees who quit.
But does the House actually name six and only five can vote?
We did that year.
So you named six. It's in the Journal of the House?
I think so, yeah.
I'd question whether he quit or not. If he actually is in the Journal of the House, that he was appointed to the committee as a non-voting member.
He's a great member of the Tax Committee.
We had Representative Dietrich 1 year, too, but is she still on the Tax Committee?
Yep. She's got a lot of provisions in here. You already adopted one, the federal lease lands. That was hers. So former Representative De La Forest is working really hard right now, seriously, with Commissioner Hansen and finance chairs to help solve the final solution on the budget deficit. And I know he's working hard today on that.
One thing, and then we'll move on to the city of Ramsey. I think if Senator Jungbauer is here, I think he's got some officials from the city here. But I know there's been a lot of confusion about where the governor is today. And I just want to make it very clear, he's in my district at Lake Kabatogama in Voyageurs National Park, and that is spelled K-A-B-E-T-O-G-A-M-A, Kabatogama. Now, for those of you that don't know, I brought these little reminders, these reminder buttons that I would like to have. The conferees all have one for a souvenir of their service on this conference committee, and the governor being in my district today and tomorrow. Senator Centrum already has one. It's a good memento, I think, of our time here, of the governor's service. Just want to know that where is Lake Kabatogama?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Michael says he's fished on that lake dozens of times. Mr. Michael. So he knows all about that lake. He probably knows where the good fishing spot is. The governor should have called Mr. Michael, since that's where he goes fishing.
Representative Erdahl.
Yes, thank you, Senator. I think it's very very good of the governor to go into your district and highlight Lake Kabatogama. And I'm hopeful that I'll
answer less.
Okay. I'm guessing that you would like a lot of people to go out there and visit. And
a wonderful lake. Beautiful lake. Voyageurs National Park's got a lot to offer.
Where on the lake he fishes? He's been there dozens of times fishing. Yeah,
Mr. Michael, how many times have you fished Cap? More than once, or? Wow.
Yeah. That's
a great. Okay. Camped out or at a resort?
Both. I had a friend who had a cabin on the peninsula before they got demolished and used to let us move.
You got a pretty tough slot limit there. I hope I don't see a picture in the paper of the governor with a fish in the protected slot that he might have kept. Somebody should remind the governor about the slot there so he doesn't get his picture with a fish he's not supposed to have. City of Ramsey, and then Senator Cohen has summoned me up to with some of the Senate finance chairs. I'm not sure why I need to be with the Senate finance chairs, but I guess I need to find out. So, Senator Skoy, if you could make the argument for Senator Jungbauer that this Ramsey TIF provision should be done, that would be helpful. I will be back as soon as I can.
Representative Abler's here. I was just going to say, we need to get Representative Abler.
Senator Youngbauer, Representative Abler, welcome to the Tax Conference Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's good to be here, and we hope to lay out some compelling arguments. Members, as a former mayor, I do understand TIF very well, and I know that TIF was never intended to be used everywhere, so I do believe that some of the TIF projects that come before us, we probably ought not to consider. I come today with the city of Ramsey is looking to put in a new TIF district, and Ramsey has a history of doing TIF very well and well within what the intent of TIF has always been. So, but for a TIF district in the city of Ramsey and probably in other cities as well today in some of the way we want to use tax incentives, we wouldn't get things moving forward. Ramsey has a town center that many people have heard about across the state that was in bankruptcy that the city was able to actually buy back with cash. It's vacant land without some good tax incentive using the TIF district to put in the infrastructure and attract things that Kurt Ulrich, the city administrator, will talk about, and Matt Look, one of the city council people. Without that proposal, nothing will happen. The land will still be vacant. And members, kind of the key for me and people in my district, when they bought this land back out of foreclosure, they paid cash and were still able to lower the taxes in the city. So they know what they're doing. They're trying to move some things forward and benefit the city and the taxpayers, keep taxes low, and put this development back on track, something that other developers weren't able to do. And I'll let we'll start off with Kurt Ulrich, the city administrator, talk about it.
Mr. Ulrich.
Thank you, Senator, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Kurt Ulrich, city administrator with City of Ramsey. And this project is vitally important to this development. The tax increment portion of it is necessary primarily for public infrastructure improvements. Public infrastructure improvements really drive this development, primarily the rail station. We're looking at an urban development which has structured parking and also an interchange on U.S. Highway 10, which would a tax increment would be used to on this development. It's a provision that will allow us to continue the development, to create these important public infrastructure components, to create jobs. We have several housing projects which are outlined, medical clinics which are proposed for this area, and what we hear from developers coming in are that these public components are very important to this project. And while we have looked to the state and federal government in the past for funds to provide monies to build these components, those aren't there as much as they have been. The ability to bond with our declining tax base is not as available as it once was, so that tax increment taxing district around this town center area is vitally important for that reason. With that, we calculate that we can create approximately 600 jobs during the construction, ultimately leading to development that will create 3,900 jobs and a stable tax base, not just within town center, but create that catalyst of a center core development, which will allow the areas around the town center to develop with full taxable property. The city is heavily invested in this land right now. As was mentioned, the city purchased the property in June of 2009. We have 140 acres of the original 300-acre development. And so currently that land is tax-exempt under city ownership. We want to use the advantage of having the ownership of the property to control development, to create a project which meets the growth and development goals of the Metropolitan Council, high-density, transit-oriented, a walkable community that is a regional benefit and provides jobs as well as good transportation to other job centers within the metropolitan area. We feel strongly that but for some tax mechanism like tax increment, which would expand throughout this area, that this project would not be completed, would not be able to get off the ground. And so we have committed developers who are willing to commit, but they need the public infrastructure to do that. The train station, the North Star train station, as well as the interchange and structured parking is important, very important for this type of development to succeed. I've included in your packets maps of the district, the proposed district showing the new interchange, as well as the district boundaries, including town center, showing the location of the Ramsey Rail Station on the expanded North Star line, which goes from St. Cloud to Minneapolis, and the Ramsey has a major infill station within that route, and also a map which outlines some current and proposed developments which would go forward pending the ability of the city to support the infrastructure improvements. So I'll conclude my comments. Also, Councilmember Matt Look is here as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ulrich. And Councilman?
Yes, members of the committee, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair. I am a council member with the City of Ramsey. I'm also chair of the Finance Committee. I'm a member of the Housing Redevelopment Authority, member of the Economic Development Authority as well. And
sir,
I mentioned this.
My name is
Matt Look. Sorry. I mention this because with all the hats that are worn, everything focuses in on this development. We've been very busy trying to make this development work. We have signed contracts right now with the assurances that these infrastructural improvements will be there. So it's very important that the investors are hedging their bets. They're very cautious in this market right now. They're hedging their bets, and with these improvements, we may be one of the few stalled projects out there that are showing signs of life. And so we definitely want to keep that moving. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Representative Abler?
I don't need to say everything everybody already said, but I just want to offer a couple of short comments. I'm not a tax committee. I'm a health guy. But as I've gotten to watch this project, it has gone from just incredible vision to just a total crash. And from what I've talked to your staff about these matters, I believe it meets the but-for test. And I think it's the right thing to do. It will absolutely bring the jobs that it promises. The previous proposal had blue sky jobs. This actually has a city who's backing it. The city has taken the risk of actually buying land. They are the developer. They're taking the risk. And it's interesting to think that, but for a couple paragraphs of language, we can generate some numbers of hundreds of jobs as they listed, and it's actually going to happen. So I hope the committee can find it to in its mind to support this.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair.
We did hear this bill, and So the blight, I think what they're asking for is that the blight test not apply. Is that right? Really, in this bill, you don't meet the blight test in current law. Is that right? And so you'd
Chair,
like
Madam
to...
Chair, that is correct.
The staff can direct us the language. Where's the language on this provision in the Senate bill?
Right. Well, Mr. Chair, I don't know if it's a sensitive issue because of...
Madam Chair.
I don't know if there's, pending court cases or anything, but my understanding is there was a bankrupt developer fraud. I don't know what all happened here, right? I mean, isn't there some story behind all this that the earlier principals and the development did something and kind of left everyone on the hook here? I mean, maybe, I don't know if you can talk about that, but I'd be interested to know what that is.
Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, members of the commission, the legal issues have been resolved, and with the city's purchase through the foreclosure, there are no pending legal issues against the developer.
Okay.
At this time, the title has been cleared. We're willing to move forward, and there are no legal issues pending. There may be outside of the land, the current land, and our holding of it, there may be some issues that will get our legal issues that are with the banks and the lenders that occurred, but that will be outside of this outside of this process and won't impact the development. So this project has been cleared to go.
Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair.
If I may, can Mr. Michael comment? I'm just trying to remember this one now. So this was, I think, they're in a redevelopment district that doesn't mean the blight test, and they want to eliminate the five-year rule, not get an extension, just completely eliminate it. If Mr. Michael can just remind us sort of what's going on here.
Mr. Michaels, can you help the committee kind of recall our memory what was discussed in the committees?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I, Representative Lucheski, I think basically summarized the provision, which sort of allows the city to create a redevelopment district in an area that would not meet the normal rules for creating a redevelopment district. I'm not sure exactly why that is, because probably because there aren't enough of the parcels occupied by substandard buildings. Secondly, in a redevelopment district, normally you're required to use 90% of the money that you get from tax increment to correct the conditions that allow a designation, which of course is eliminating the blight, since there isn't any blight and even exception from that provision. And then there's an exemption from the five-year rule. And I think the short answer is they basically, in order to make this development work, need to have up to the 25 years of increment to provide the revenue to put in, you know, roads, improvements, and parking and so forth that are sort of integral parts of this plan for the area. And so this, you know, this exception is sort of all about generating the necessary revenue for the city to pay for those public infrastructure costs. And the committee sort of needs to say, well, decide, is this the kind of thing that you want to grant an exception from the normal TIF restrictions, because it's important to allow the city to go forward with this development.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lucheski.
If I may, can Mr. Michael, you know, can you think of how often the blight test has, people have been given exemptions from that? And I know the blight test has changed over time, but, you know, precedent matters, and I'm just trying to think through. I know the whole Best Buy situation was different, but have there been a lot of these?
Mr. Michaels.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I don't, off the top of my head, I can't think of specific examples. This is a fairly routine, I would say a fairly routine request that has, I think I've characterized it as occasionally been given, and oftentimes there's a story behind why it's given. I mean, typical examples would be, well, a private developer came in and demolished the substandard buildings, and that took away our ability to designate, or something like this. I think, as you know, in this case, there's a story here too, which is we had an overly aggressive developer that came in. And I think, I don't know, the city would be better to talk about this, but I think, you know, they, in reliance on some of that, made some investments that they're now trying to preserve by, you know, making additional investments, by, you know, essentially the development that will be served by some of the, you know, the money they've sunk into this already. And so you've got that dynamic that's going on that has a potential justification for granting an exception. Each, I don't want to say each one of these special law requests tends to be unique, but there's a different story that's often involved with, you know, with many of them. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's sort of, I understand largely what's going on here.
Mr. Ulrich, if you've been listening to this, can you help us understand your story a little bit about why this exemption to the redevelopment should defer?
Yes, certainly. This is not your classic blight. I think this is the blight we're seeing in economic development today, that developers have left projects and they leave the city with a significant amount of investment that has been put in the ground. We calculate nearly $40 million of investment in existing streets, sewer, water, bridges, parking ramp, municipal facilities that have been constructed with an equal amount or greater amount that is yet to be completed. So it is maybe not your classic blight of a private sector old shack or warehouse that needs to be torn down, but it clearly is a public purpose in that this is a development that has failed, and we feel it's a public purpose that we need to go in there and be aggressive and be proactive as a city to make a difference, to make this project succeed, and that's what this tax increment would be able to do for us. Consider projects like the Medtronic project in Mounds View, which was a green land, which received a tax increment district to move forward. That was one developer company which generated a lot of jobs. In our case, we are looking at multiple developers, significant investments that will be returned back to the public in terms of public safety with an intersection that provides public safety access as well as safe and convenient access off of Highway 10, which has been a dangerous stretch of highway for us. It provides an additional rail station stop to leverage the investment that's been made in North Star of over $317 million, providing more passengers to that train, and really allows the city to move forward and create additional tax base. Even though this is a TIF portion, outside of Ramsey, there's plenty of land left to develop, which will benefit in the short term as well as the long term by having this tax increment district.
Senator Youngbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. One of the other key components here in terms of whether you set a precedent or not, there's a good deal of public monies that were already invested as well for the private developers. Met Council moved out the main sewer lines. So Met Council has a significant investment in the amount of water and sewer that's not being used today that will never generate the payback at that point. Both state and federal funds were used for the first portion of the parking ramp you see there. The municipal buildings were all relocated in the city for part of this development. It's a transit-oriented development that was well-planned. So the amount of actual state and federal dollars that have gone into it and Met Council along with that state that, you know, sets something different than what you'll see here rather than somebody just asking for a redevelopment. All this money was moved forward for these developers to put this project together. When it went belly up, it created a in some terms, in our area, you could call bare ground with that kind of development around there and that kind of infrastructure underneath a blight because nobody's moving projects into it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lincheski.
I'd like to think about this some more. I feel, you know, torn here because I know Representative Carlson is calling me away for the same reason that Representative Cohen just called, or Senator Cohen just called away Senator Bach, and so I have to go be a part of that for a little bit, but I do think this issue, I want to think about why didn't the jobs bill help already? Because we sort of broke open the rules in the jobs bill on TIF in a number of ways, and that might have provided some flexibility that maybe they haven't considered. I don't know. If they had a developer and they're ready to go, that was in the jobs bill, but I'm not sure where that's at, so I think I have to talk to Representative Abler and a little more and understand. Sure. But also, I think the designation here is really the key part, but I just don't think we could make a decision right now.
Yeah, no, I think we'll think on these things just a little bit. I appreciate councilmen and city coming down. Thank you, Senator Youngbaugh. Thanks, Representative. Anything else, members? Senator S. So let's just lay this aside, and we'll ponder where we're going to go with this, and we'll move on. We're going to do Senator Olson and Wayzata. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you. Chairman.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have to have staff again. I don't know where these all are. Welcome, Senator Olson. It's
Thank
on
you.
Senate file. It's on page 135.
Where is it in the side by side?
Side by side. Staff, where is this on the side-by-side? Page 34. are similar here except for modification of the delayed receipt. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you have noted, this provision is parts of it are common to both, but the one significant portion that is in the Senate file is rather critical to the project. This project going forward, it's a redevelopment of a 15-acre site that has been a long-time shopping center, the Wayzata Bay Shopping Center, and it consists of a mixed plan use unit development that includes Presbyterian Home Senior Care Facility with the whole continuum of care, as well as some independent assisted living apartments and commercial office and retail space, and some owner-occupied condominium units and a hotel. This project was long in coming because there was a concern, and the community is very engaged in what they believe is appropriate to, so they've been through some iterations of proposals before they reached one that they believed was advantageous to the city as well as to the space that it's in. It was approved, and fortunately or unfortunately, the city went right ahead and started and filed the tax increment district just ahead of when the bottom dropped out of things. And so there has been no increment collected. In fact, if anything, the value may be going down because many of the tenants of the current shopping center have left, and it's going the wrong way instead of being able to be developed. And there's an approved development, a very responsible developer, financing is difficult. They have delayed a couple of times the start, but the delay is being caused by inability to get the financing. The total cost of the project is close to $158 million. And of that, the private source financing is $135 million. So the tax increment portion of the assistance in developing that infrastructure and the tear down and all of that type of thing is approximately $23 million. And that's kind of a pay-as-you-go, and it's at the developer's risk. That's what the estimate is. They take what comes. And this is expected to go over a fairly, because of the times, it's not going to happen all at once. It's going to take a period of time. And unfortunately, because it was not able to get started and get the financing at the beginning of the tax increment district, it's now there. That is a factor in the difficulty in getting the financing, because they see it running out and there isn't the stability of having that increment carry through what might be the expected life of the project. And so we would appreciate very much if you would approve the Senate position on this, because it means jobs and it means a definite asset to the community, but added value and income to state as well as local government.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest.
Senator Rest, could you use the mic?
Yes, I will speak louder.
Or use the mic.
Both bills deal with this proposal, and the Senate has an additional provision within Subdivision 1. And I imagine that was part of the original proposal, and so I wondered why, what kept you from including that, or why you didn't think so. I'm looking at page 34 on them.
Representative Lincheski.
You know, I'm going to ask Mr. Michael again if he can comment. You know, what it got really confusing. What happened, honestly, is we were having these hearings with, we kind of had open hearing day on developers. Can you come forward with projects that if we give you assistance, you can get things up and built and put construction people to work? And so, one of the people who was working on this project testified there, but Representative Depke, who's the author, you know, knew nothing about that. And I actually put a portion in the bill then talked to Representative Depke. She'd heard nothing about it and went and talked to her city council, who said, take it out. So we took it out. So since then, there's been a lot of discussion, and I think we've had some misunderstanding, really, on what all YZETA really needed here. And we were taking one part thinking that worked, and then there was sort of an indication that, you know, maybe something else worked. And so we were actually still trying to figure it out. We're still trying to figure it out. But I started with not liking any of the three chunks, then doing one, then being convinced to do two. And now I'm not sure.
5 years.
Right, and I'm not sure that.
Delay the increment.
Right, and now I'm not even sure what works here. So maybe Mr. Michael can help Senator Rest and I and Ms. Zoff think about kind of what's all going on here, because it is confusing to me still.
Mr. Michaels or Ms. Zoff, did you hear the questions?
About the need for the additional provision that we did leave in the Senate bill, which was part of the bill as it was introduced. And he said that the issue is that essentially the city kind of jumped the gun in terms of starting to collect, getting the district underway and starting to collect an increment when the whole project wasn't collected.
There's been no increment.
Well, but they started.
But the clock starts ticking.
Right. And because of that,
right,
they are looking to delay the receipt of increment for an additional period beyond what the general law would allow.
Is Mr. Johnson here? I don't know.
Dave Johnson. Senator Olson, has Mr. Johnson been working with you on this, or do you have anybody from the city that would be helpful?
I have been working with the city. Unfortunately, they were unable to join me today. It's my understanding, as I have explained, it's that the shrinking of the time available for the tax increment without any benefit in these first years has been a deterrent to getting financing to get the project going at all, because it will run out then before it's likely to have achieved the objective that is a part of the original plan.
And so what you're saying,
so it's kind of either look at it as a restart or an extension, whichever way I think there it's treated as modified to change the first year, so that if you have that authority, then if they can get the financing, they will start it then, and then the increment would begin.
So they started this probably 4 years ago. No increment's been collected.
That's correct.
They'd kind of like a redo.
Yes.
And start it today.
Yeah. Yes.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Russ.
I'd like to ask the same question that we asked earlier about how many times has a specific kind of exception to the law been requested, and what's been the history of that, and Mr. Michael talked about the story behind something. This request that's in subdivision one about delaying receipt of the first increment, have we done that before, and that you recall, Ms. Off, how unusual is this exemption from the law in terms of special law requests that have come forward? Is this very unusual, never done, or routinely done, given the story?
Mr. Michael or Ms. Soff?
Ms. Soff? I know we've seen a lot of requests for this in the last couple of years in particular, because the projects have been hit by the economic
times. Because of the economic times.
We do have the list from the State Auditor's Office of the special exceptions, and I can go through that and get that information in a little bit. And also with respect to your question on the earlier bill about the waiver of the blight requirements for districts, we did that for the Fridley
station.
I think it looks like we've done that for a couple of others. And
Fridley
I think
station.
Going through this and getting some information.
Senator Rest.
Chairman, one of the things that I'm starting to do now, Representative Lincheski, is I have that list from the State Auditor's Office of all these times when we've given exceptions, because it seems to me that if we're continually giving the
change
exception,
the law,
then maybe we ought to, if not modify the provision in the statutes for TIF, we ought to at least lay out some criteria in the statutes for the conditions under which an exemption or a waiver would be considered. And what that the list from the state auditor's office is just the list. It doesn't have the story, so it'll take a bit of digging to understand why that was done. But we get this over and over and over again, and it always seems to be, or at least most of the time, seems to be for good cause. And if it's for good cause more often than not, then it seems to me we ought to be looking at, well, it's like your local option sales tax thing. If it's good for one community with a story, then it ought to be good for all communities with the same story and not have to go through this exercise year.
Mr. Chair.
And that's an interim project for myself.
Representative Lenchowski.
I'd be interested in what Mr. Johnson has to add, if you permit him. But I do still am interested in what Mr. Michael might add as it relates to the jobs bill, because there were exemptions in that for folks who had developers, and they have a developer. So I'm still not quite sure what's going on here.
Mr. Michael first.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, essentially the principle, there are two exceptions in the jobs bill that grants more flexibility to TIF, and I think neither one of them would help either Wayzata or Ramsey. The two exceptions were, first of all, the bill granted immense flexibility for cities to use existing surplus increments that they had from other districts for purposes that would normally not be permitted because of the pooling rules and other restrictions that apply. And that just does not help either Wayzata or Ramsey, because they're in the situation where they need to collect more revenues in order to finance these costs. The second thing that the jobs bill did was it allowed essentially expanded uses for economic development districts without an extension. So, under prior general law, all you could use economic development districts were for things like manufacturing, warehousing, research and development, those footloose kinds of industries. And, of course, the thought with the jobs bill is we just want to get some more construction going, and so that was expanded to allow it for commercial and retail and that sort of thing. But, again, that's only for 8 years, and in both of these instances, they really need much longer periods to collect increment to generate the revenue to pay for the costs. One other thing just to contradict a little bit what's been said here. In order for the clock to start running on a tax increment district, you actually have had to have collected increment. So I think likely what's happened with Wayzata is you can collect increment not just because developments happen, but because the value of the property that's in the district has gone up a little bit. And I'm guessing that in the case of Wayzata, what's happened is sometime, I believe this district was certified about 2002 or something like that, chances are the assessor raised the value of the district a little bit, and so the city collected a minimal amount of increment that doesn't help it at all, really, in terms of financing the project, but nevertheless starts the clock running. And so they're facing basically, the 25-year clock will run faster, and so Subdivision 1 of the Senate bill allows them to say, we're not going to count those minimal amounts of increment that we received before development actually happened against our 25-year limit. The provision that's in Subdivision 3, which is also in the House bill, gives the city a second alternative, which is to say, instead of delaying receipt, we'll actually decertify the existing district and recertify a new district without having to meet the blight test, which in this case makes sense, because the reason why they can't meet the blight test was because when they created the district, they got rid of some of the blight that would be necessary to create the district. And so I think the thinking on the House side was that rather than giving them the choice of either or, that it made more sense to say, look, we'll let you start over again. Otherwise, it's like you start with a lower base, or, you know, it's sort of, there's a choice about what the base is and what the period of time is, but there's, you know, no clear policy reason for doing one or the other or giving them sort of the best of both worlds.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, this district certification took place on June 11th, 2009. There has been no increment collected.
Senator Olson, there's been no increment collected?
Mr. Chairman, I think if anything, the value has gone down, not gone up, because there's been nothing. They can't get financing to start the project, and they clearly needed the full term of the tax increment district to meet the financial requirements of the agreement. And yet, if it doesn't meet that, once they start collecting that increment, it is at the risk of the developer.
Mr. Chairman? Senator Johnson?
My name is Dave Johnson. I'm an attorney at Best and Flag, and I represent the city of Wayzata. The district was certified in 2009, and the reason the city is assisting in trying to get these changes is because there's a long history with trying to redevelop this property. They'd finally gotten Presbyterian Homes, the developer, to help with this. The credit markets froze up after they'd gotten the TIF district set up, and the idea here is to give some flexibility in terms of starting the TIF district so they can get the amount of increment that they had kind of originally bargained for that helps with financing the project. The city had gone ahead and done some demolition of buildings in anticipation of this going through, and then there was a holdup when the credit markets froze up, and so the Senate position is really designed to try and, as Mr. Michael said, kind of restart the clock so we can get what was originally bargained for, so that we can, you know, that we can get the full amount of the increment. We're not asking for any additional increment. We're just asking what was originally contemplated, and the Senate position does that.
Senator Rest.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Johnson, why then, if the district wasn't certified until 2009, okay, so you haven't collected 1 year of increments. Why do you need a delay in the first year for nine years if it is a very recent certification? If it had been back in 2002 and just nothing happened, or there was this blip where it had a little bit of increase in value, and so there was collection of taxes there, I could understand that. But if it's 2009 and the value's going down, why do you need 9 years rather than four?
As I understand it, Senator Ress, what had happened is the district was certified in 2009 and they didn't want to start collecting increment yet because the financing hadn't closed. And
why did they do that?
Well, I think they were kind of locked in by the terms, and maybe the developer's attorney could speak to that. But my understanding of it from the city's perspective is that when the financing dried up and they couldn't get the money, the clock started running, and they had hoped to be farther along than they are before the increment started when they certified the district.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lonczewski.
Some of this is coming back now, and I think Wayzata, Mr. Johnson can correct me if I'm wrong, former Senator Johnson, is that the developer actually asked for things that the city council in Wayzata turned down. I think they wanted to write the land down to zero. Mm-hmm. And the city council said no. Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
So I think Wayzata was,
yeah, there was a separate negotiation because when the developer and the city staff negotiated this, there were things that the developer wanted that the city wasn't prepared to give because they were concerned about their tax base. And, you know, what they were able to agree on is they wanted to get back to where they originally would have been to rectify the whole loss of, you know, the freezing of the credit markets and the inability to change, you know, to get financing, was to try and reset that so that you know, nobody was harmed and they could still kind of do the original deal. But there were other things that were asked for that the city would not agree to.
Senator Squay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Johnson, I'm on the side-by-side, it says current law is 4 years. So that would be 2013. And you're asking for 9 years? I'm not understanding why 2013 wouldn't be adequate.
Yeah, there's a couple. It's going to be 2 or 3 years to get the thing constructed, assuming we can get the financing now. And so there's, I think the 5 years is designed to give us flexibility to make sure we can now get the financing because, you know, credit markets are starting to open up again. But it's, you know, not a given that they get it right away, and then there will be a construction time frame. I mean, there's a long history to this project and that, frankly, I don't fully understand, but has been going on for quite a long period of time in terms of trying to get this parcel developed. And this is kind of the latest chapter in it. Isn't that right, Senator Olson?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, some of it you don't want to know.
Well, Madam Chair, I think both of us recognize there's a problem here. We'd like to do something. I think maybe we can talk with our staff about kind of what the best option might be here.
Maybe Senator Rest and I can work on that.
Well, okay. Madam Chair, if you want to work on it with Senator Rest, that's and see if we can.
Okay.
I think both House and Senate want to try to figure something out here so that this can go forward. So.
And we appreciate that.
Thank you.
And we can talk to Senator Rest and others to try and get more history on the project to help them in those discussions.
Thank you. Senator Olson, thank you.
Thank you.
The House is under call, I understand. And do we have any idea how long you're going to be there?
It's the wealthy bill.
Madam Chair, we recess until. Representative Rudolph, any idea? How long?
No, I don't have any idea, but I just wanted to suggest that when we come back, and we have quite a few mayors here who are from a distance away, if we could deal with them.
Well, we'll start with the ones from furthest away when we get back. So if you all. City representatives can figure out who's the furthest away and provide us with a list. Maybe, where's Mr. Carlson? Maybe the league can kind of determine of the cities that are here who's farthest away and kind of give us a list. And not that we're going to get anybody home before dark, but kind of get them in order.
So you think a couple of hours?
Probably. Let's try come back. Let's try 4:30 and see if that works with the House. Committee in recess.